the AFC East. We got some predictions today. Mm-hmm. We also got a nice little keep trade cut from the community.
Boy.
It's a fun one. Let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
All righty.
All right.
All righty. Thursday. It's a Thursday, July 8th. Mm-hmm. My Dake Like Cake is here with me. Did you have some birthday cake yesterday?
I did have birthday cake yesterday.
Did you? I didn't know if you were able to because you're in lockdown.
Well, I guess it wasn't birthday cake. It was more like birthday donuts.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I got a delivery of donuts and cupcakes from family and friends. So it was pretty good. It was exciting.
What kind? Where was it from?
Like? There was one called Donut Box, if I'm not mistaken. And then there was another one that's just called like Cake in a Box. So it was pretty good.
I'll tell you what. Both of those companies are very creative. They're like, we got donuts. We got cakes. What do we put them in? Boxes.
In a box.
That's right. Our name. Mm-hmm. It's revolutionary. Well, I just want to say a big happy birthday to you. And the community was awesome. Discord's always been awesome with giving the shout outs. And we had a live stream. And
yeah,
big shout out to you. Happy birthday.
Huge love from everyone. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Here's to many more, honestly. 2-8.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds dark. I know. Okay, we got follower leagues, Badaki. Tell us about them.
Yeah, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. We have three options: Dynasty, Redrafts, and Best of Both Worlds. If you want to play in Dynasty and Redraft, obviously, go to Best of Both Worlds. Three different tiers. Like I said, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. It's the best way to support the show and the best way to play fantasy football with us. There's a lot of things you're going to be unlocking. Exclusive content, bonus episodes, bragging rights. You get a trophy.
Bro, weekly this, rankings.
100%. There's so much more. Check it out. Patreon.com. And
probably the biggest thing as well is a fantasy hotline. Direct line to you and I for advice.
Absolutely. I almost forgot about that. That's the biggest thing. Q&A, live Q&A. The hotline is real. Patreon.com.
By the way, big shout out to Chase and John, who both joined our leagues. They both joined Dynasty and Redraft. They chose the Best of Both World tier. Mm-hmm. Got a nice little discount there to play in both leagues. Big shout out to Chase and John. Leagues are filling up, and we are excited to play in these leagues with you. We're putting a lot of time and effort into them because we genuinely care and want them to be fun. So, again, don't be afraid to join or ask any questions. Okay, we have a keep trade cut from our Discord community today. Shout out to 30 Hurdy, who asked the question, guys. Mm-hmm. Keep trade cut. Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Lockett, Deontay Johnson.
Wow. It's pretty simple for me, don't you think?
I don't know what you're going to say. So
I'll give you my answer. Keep Brandon Ayuk, trade Deontay Johnson, and cut Tyler Lockett.
That's hilarious because we have completely every one of those categories is different for us. Every single one of them. I'm so excited. Go ahead.
No, that's awesome. So yeah, like I said, my first one is keep. I believe Brandon Ayuk is going to come into his own this year. Obviously, he's going to upgrade in Trey Lance. When is that happening? We don't know, but we do. Mm. We do believe Trey Lance is going to be on the field. I am trading Deontay Johnson because I still believe there's fantasy value in Deontay Johnson. Let's remember that my guy had. He was like the number one target on that team for a long time. He had 144 targets in 2020, but the biggest
thing... He had 144 drops, too.
Nah, that's what I was about to say. He had 16 drops. Imagine if he caught all those passes. You know, where he would have finished. Obviously, I know Tyler Lockett probably finished ahead of him, but Tyler Lockett does have the competition of DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson with the legs. So I think I would rather... I guess the two big questions here is... trading Deontay Johnson and cutting Tyler Lockett for me. So that was like the biggest.
So you weren't sure on those two? That was harder for you?
Yeah, that was harder for me, 100%.
Okay, I am keeping Tyler Lockett.
Okay.
I am trading Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. And I am cutting Deontay Johnson. I'll explain the first one. Tyler Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to like Lockett more and more this year, okay? Because his value continues to get lower. And I think it's because he has the inconsistent tag. I'm not here to tell you that that's the wrong tag to place on him. Mm-hmm. I think it is. But money talks sometimes.
Sometimes.
He just signed a massive contract. It's really just like there's no tight end there that's standing out to me. I love Everett, but I don't think he can take away any targets. It's only DK and Tyler. Who else is getting the ball in that offense, in my opinion? I think Lockett's going to have a great year still. I think he has a chance to finish as a top 24 wide receiver again. I'm trading Ayuk. Firstly, I love Brandon Ayuk. Okay, mm-hmm. I just want to say that. I'm an Ayuk lover. But his value is so, so high right now. This is a guy who's going in the fourth to fifth round at the moment. Meanwhile, Debo, his teammate, is going in the seventh to eighth round. If Debo's healthy, it wouldn't be crazy if he was the better fantasy wide receiver this year.
Right.
That wouldn't blow me away.
Okay.
So personally, I think Ayuk is kind of at an all-time, his stock is just risen throughout this offseason. So I'm really comfortable trading him and allowing myself to be wrong if I'm wrong, because I think I could get really good value for Ayuk right now.
Yeah, so essentially you're trading Ayuk just because of what value the you can receive. Train.
Exactly.
Okay.
The hype train is there. Let me get that value back.
Okay. Makes sense.
Deontay Johnson, I'm cutting. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I do not want any Steelers wide receiver this mm-hmm. year. Big Ben threw 40 pass attempts per game last year. That mm-hmm. was the third highest amongst all quarterbacks, and it didn't look good. Najee Harris was drafted to help the run game, mm-hmm. but I had a revelation recently. Oh. He wasn't only drafted to help the run game. He wow. was drafted
late revelation.
To alleviate... He was drafted to alleviate the pass game
right.
for Big Ben.
Okay.
So I think that's a really important part of this. All that being said, 48 pass attempts per game last year for Big Ben. I see that number coming down to 25 per game, which means there will be way less targets. Hundreds of targets taken away from last year to this year in that offense.
Okay.
So I'm avoiding all those guys. So again, keeping Tyler Lockett, trading Ayuk, cutting Deontay Johnson. Deontay's talented, but
yeah,
and there's not enough targets for all three of those guys.
And I agree, and I hear you on the losing of the targets. I think the general consensus of the community likes Deontay more. I think they believe in him. Obviously, the biggest question mark is
that's
that
true,
quarterback.
Hey.
Yeah, the biggest question is that quarterback and what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be. You know, what Najee Harris is going to do in this, you know, in this backfield and taking away all these targets. Yeah. So I think that was why I went with trading Deontay, because I still believe I can get something back. What?
Yeah. And I'll say this as well, just quickly. Like, we could be very wrong on Deontay. And mm-hmm. for whatever reason, we've had a little bit of hate on YouTube recently where we give our opinions and people are like, oh, these nerds talking football, or oh, it's obvious these kids never played football, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify, we are not scouts. We don't work for ESPN. We don't work for NFL teams. We're not coaches. I've never coached. I played peewee football. But
right.
we are going to look at analytics. We're mm-hmm. going to, you know, use reason and logic to come to these conclusions. So that's how I kind of came to my conclusions. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I love Ayuk. It was hard for me to put him in the trade category, but I think everything's based off of value right now, in my opinion, when I look at this.
And I agree. And, you know, I thought about who can I get Deontay for? You know, who is he going around? You know, if I look at him right now, he's the wide receiver 24, a Ja'Marr Chase, a Kenny G, a T. Higgins. If I can trade Deontay Johnson for a T. Higgins in a redraft league, I think we're both buzzing about that, you know? Yeah. So it's those thought processes that I kind of have when I think about
trading
somebody.
I think when I think of Brandon Ayuk, I think I could trade Ayuk for like a Kenny Galladay, maybe one of the Woods or Cups,
okay.
Maybe even a Julio Jones. Like, he's got his value so high. So
right.
that's where I kind of sit with that. But
seems fair.
That was really fun. Yeah. That was actually really fun.
I like that.
I'll quickly ask you, in Dynasty...
Mm-hmm.
So if this was reversed, because let's say we're in Dynasty now, because that was, you know, this conversation is all based off of PPR redraft. If we're in a Dynasty league, does this change for you?
No, I think I keep it the same. I'll keep IU. I still trade Deontay because of the value, and I'll cut Lockett. Lockett is an older guy. Deontay's still young, fresh legs. I think he's, 25 years old, 26 years old. How old is Lockett? That's the biggest question then.
Yeah,
I think Lockett was 27, 28 potentially.
I'll double check on that, but I was just going to say I actually have the same perspective as well.
Okay.
Lockett's I'm going to keep Ayuk, trade Deontay, and cut Tyler Lockett if it's a dynasty league.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we kind of see at least one thing the same.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into the AFC East breakdown, we want to let you guys know that we have officially partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, a.k.a. RSA, again this year. That's right. We're going back to back.
Can't wait.
So what does this mean for you, the listener? Well, it's good news for you, especially if you love signed jerseys, signed helmets, signed footballs, and more. RSA has got to be your go-to for anything signed sports memorabilia. They work directly with the athletes to get the best prices possible. You know what I love, Badaki?
What?
Football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Football you know podcast. What else I love? Discounts.
Yeah. Makes sense. I like
to take money. I love discount codes. We are officially a podcast that has a discount code. That's boy. Right. You get a code. Everybody gets a discount code. All right. So here's the deal. Go to solo.to/fantasylandfootball and check out what RSA has to offer. The best part, we got you with 15% off when you use our code FL15 at checkout. Again, that is FL15 at checkout. I'm hyped to be partnering with these guys again this year.
We got a code. I mean, it's official, y'all. FL15. There's no doubt about it. I mean, now we kind of like everyone else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're legit.
We got a whole little thing happening.
I'm actually excited. I mean, they were awesome last year, and they have so much on their website, legit. Like any player that you like, any big fantasy.
And they're still growing as well. Like, they're still getting more and more players, even some old vets out there or people that retire, Hall of Famers. It's awesome.
Yes, sir. Okay. Main topic today is the AFC East. Mm-hmm. We're going to give our predictions for this division. Obviously, we got the Dolphins, we got the Patriots, we got the Jets, and the Bills. We're going to have general conversations about all four of these teams. But Aki, let's start with the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
How are you feeling about them this year?
Yeah, look, I actually don't mind the Miami Dolphins. They went 10-6 last year. They finished second in that division. I mean, that defense came up big in a lot of games last year. If you really think about it, I remember them beating the Rams. That's the only one I can really think of right at the moment. But that was a big game that they won, if you remember. Yeah. But my prediction for them going into this year, it's not getting better. It's actually getting kind of even. It's 8-9. Obviously, we get another game. They finish. I think I have them finishing second in this division once again coming in. But the biggest question mark for me is for the Miami Dolphins is Tua. I think we can both agree that was the biggest question mark.
100%
for everyone. I think it's not that we're Tua haters. We just believe, or at least we hope, that Tua can be the guy that we're all thinking about and all believing he can be. But obviously, it's the biggest additions in the offseason and in the draft. I think as well.
You're so right about this Tua perspective here, because when you think about it, this team will go as far as Tua takes them. Right. When I look at their schedule, I also have them predicted to go 8-9, by the way.
Oh, okay. That's good.
They're third in my division, though. Mm-hmm. In my division, how it breaks down, they're third.
Okay.
But I was thinking, I was looking at the schedule and I was thinking, damn, there's a ton of matchups they could potentially win if Tua can be the difference maker.
That's right.
Like, Tua, if he can get over that hump, if he can be the reason they win games instead of the defense being the reason they win games, then they could win a lot of these games. I mean, there's a pretty tough schedule that they have. The Bills twice, obviously.
Yep.
The Patriots twice. They also play the Bucks, Ravens, Titans, Saints, and the Giants. I respect the Giants.
Okay. Love that. Love that.
So those are all games where I'm like, oh, Tua's going to have to be not just an okay quarterback to win some of those games.
Yeah, but the thing is, he still can be an okay quarterback.
I agree.
Why is because of the defense. The defense is good. The addition of Jalen Phillips from in the draft is probably one of the best guys coming out of there.
Okay.
And then obviously Jalen Waddle, he has a guy that he can come in, has chemistry with. Obviously, they brought in Will Fuller. They brought in Malcolm Brown as well in the backfield. Like, this offense is decent.
Well, it's shaping up, but I think there's still question marks, right? I mean, the offensive line, Sorry, I just laughed because we released a video about Tua on YouTube. And this kid, I don't know who, if he was a kid or an adult, but he commented and said that we were a children's channel because we didn't talk about the offensive line.
Thanks for watching, bro.
Thanks for watching, bro. When you hit that dislike, you help us reach more people. Joke's on you, kid. Anyway, I think it's true, though. The offensive line is something to take note. Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of draft capital in 2020 on the offensive line. Mm. And I think we start to see the offensive line develop. I think it can improve. I think when this team goes from winning because of their defense, but winning because of Tua, that's when they can really take the next step as a team.
Yeah, 100%. And if you really look at it, they can go on a nice little stretch. You know, not really. They have a couple. It's hard because the schedule is hard, but they can go on a stretch depending on if Tua can come in, though. Like, they have the Jags, you know, the Falcons. I think those are both winnable games. Yeah. The Texans, obviously, you know. They finished the season off a little bit rough with the Saints, the Titans, and the Patriots. But obviously the Patriots, depending on what we're going to be talking about them soon, what are they going to look like? You know, the Titans, that's a high caliber team, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Is that defense good? Did they get enough people for that defense? Is Caleb Farley enough? So there's a lot of different things that, you know, this team can end up being. But 8-9, it's for me. They finished second in this division coming into the 2021 season. Any last words?
You must have this division scouted, or I guess predicted, to be pretty average then if at 8-9 the Dolphins finish second for you.
Yeah, it is. I think it's actually kind of even. And I feel like it all kind of fell really even besides one team, really. But okay. Yeah.
Well, I'll just want to quickly say, do you have any fantasy deep sleepers on this team? I have one in particular, which is Jaylen Waddle. We've already talked about him, but you know, we talked about him on the podcast. I think this week we just talked about him, but I mean, he could be the most valuable wide receiver on this team from day one because of the connection with Tua. Is there anyone else that stands out to you as a fantasy deep sleeper? You know, I don't want to say Mike Gesicki because that's obvious, but is anyone else that you're like, oh, I could be drafting that person in drafts potentially?
The only person I can really think of, and this is not a super deep sleeper, but is Tua going into as a quarterback this year. I could take a chance as Tua being, you know, if I'm going to go a no quarterback, you know, none of the top tier quarterbacks and all these other second tiers, like a Tom Brady's out, you know, obviously he's a good late. Matthew Stafford's off the board, or Ryan Tannehill's off the board. Let's just say there's Carson Wentz, Tua, Matt Ryan as an example. Or Kirk Cousins, for example. I think I would take a chance on Tua, depending on where. If it was really, really late in the rounds, I could take a chance because I do believe in Tua. If you watch that video that we released, there's a little Tua love there for me. So I think he does have the opportunity and he could also use his legs.
Yeah.
So that's my thought process.
Yeah. No, I think it could be interesting. All right. The last word for the Miami Dolphins. Do you think, and again, I really don't want Dolphins fans to hate me because they all hate me because I say what I think. But do you think there's any way Brian Flores is on the hot seat at all this year?
No.
Is there any way, because this is a team that was 10-6, I personally don't see a way that they could repeat that looking at their schedule. Now, if Tua, again, takes the next step, they can. But this is a team that could go under 500. Would that put him on the hot seat at all, or just still developing?
I don't think it puts him on the hot seat. I think he's done everything possible to make this team successful. He has done it. The question is once again, it always goes back to Tua. But this team, you know, almost made the playoffs last year. I actually do believe that they could make a playoff push and make the playoffs as a wild card team, even as an 8-9, depending on obviously.
I think they could as well. I just think the likelihood.
Yeah, of it
is not as high as of it happening than it not happening.
100%. I agree.
Okay, the New England Patriots are the second team in the AFC East we are going to talk about. I have them predicted to go 10-7 this year.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow, okay.
I really think this team is not playing games anymore, and especially Bill is not playing games anymore. Mm-hmm. This team's much improved. Mm-hmm. When you look at the free agency moves they made, they spent a ton of money in free agency on the offensive and the defensive end. And you include the opt-outs that are coming back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a great chance that these Patriots could be in the wild card this year. Now, I think obviously we would probably agree the biggest question mark on this team is the quarterback position.
100%.
Okay. So Cam Newton and Mac Jones, this is going to be a storyline that we follow all year long. Quickly, before we talk about that, what do you have them predicted to go
as? I actually have them finishing bottom in this league at 5-12. I do believe they have a really tough schedule, in my opinion.
What?
Yeah.
The worst team in the division?
The worst team in the division.
You're crazy,
dude. I said that to myself. It's hard. I actually believe, because you know what? You know what really made a difference for me is can they win any games against the Bills, the Dolphins, obviously, or the Jets? I think the Bills sweep him. I think the Jets win one game. It's hard. It's hard without like actually seeing, like having like a chart in front of everyone so they can actually see it.
Yeah.
But that's my thought process. I do think this schedule is difficult. You know, they play the Cowboys, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Browns.
I think they can beat the Dolphins. I think they, you know, the Dolphins could take a game, but I also see a scenario where the Patriots could take both games from these Dolphins. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a game against the Panthers, both games against the Jets. They play the Texans, the Saints. I don't think it's crazy to say that they could beat these Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they also play the Jags, which I definitely have them winning that game. Anything could happen, right?
Yeah.
But, man, I just think this team is going to be so much better, and I do not want to count out Bill Belichick.
And I thought about that. I thought about that as well. And I thought about everyone that's coming back from, they had the most opt-out from COVID last year. This team gets better with just that group specifically, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, they bring in Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, you know, Nelson Agholor. Not that these guys are massive additions. Nelson Agholor is not a massive addition. But, you know, like you said,
that's just mean.
The biggest question mark is Cam Newton. Can he win? Can he really do something? And I think we spoke about this in the mock draft that we did earlier. Cam Newton had a nice little decent run in the beginning before he had COVID. And if he kept that, and if he didn't get COVID, and if all that didn't really affect him the way it did, where would that team look like? Or what would that team have looked like?
It's true. And I think this is obviously the biggest storyline in 2021 for the Patriots is their quarterback room, Cam Newton and Mac Jones. I actually view, it's funny, we just talked about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of view this 2021 Patriots very similarly to how I view the 2020 Dolphins.
Right.
Okay. Right? They made really good free agency signings. They were an average team the year before, made really good free agency signings. And then you had Fitzpatrick winning games when they switched to Tua. Right. So it will be interesting to see if Cam is winning games and they start the year and they're, let's say they're even 5-4 to start the year. And the coaching staff is like, oh, Mac Jones looks good though. Like it'll be so interesting to me because I feel like it's the same storyline. The veterans doing well. They're winning games. The defense is improved.
Mm.
But Mac Jones, do we go to Mac Jones yet? I kind of see a similar scenario there in Miami. Well, in New England that we had in Miami last year.
Yeah, I think the possibility is there, but like I said, once again, it was hard for me. They finished 7-9 last year. They were the third team in that division. I mean, obviously, my prediction that they're getting worse, I think it's crazy. this was a difficult one. I think every single one of these teams are really good in this division. You know, so like somebody is going to have to lose some games.
Really good, I don't know, but they are above mediocre.
Yeah.
Like the Bills are obviously the top tier, but all the other ones, except for, well, we're going to figure this out. Deep sleepers, fantasy deep sleepers for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I try to say Pats, but then I try to say Patriots at the same time. So I said,
Patriots.
And my brain malfunctioned.
Right.
Hilarious, right? I wrote this script right before the N'Keal Harry news.
Mm-hmm.
And N'Keal Harry was my fantasy deep sleeper for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And now he wants to be traded.
Unlucky.
Can I tell you why he's a deep sleeper though?
Yeah, tell me. I think the people want to know as well.
So, if Harry stays or if he goes, I think he is still a deep sleeper in fantasy leagues. I don't know so much about redraft, but dynasty for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a guy who's 6'3", 220 pounds. He reminds me a little bit of Devontae Parker. It took Devontae Parker 5 years to really hit his stride in the league. N'Keal Harry is going into his third year.
Right.
We've seen this happen before. Talented player, needs time to really get used to the game. Fitzpatrick was the key in his breakout. And I look at Mac Jones as the potential key to N'Keal Harry's breakout. Now, if N'Keal Harry gets traded, the quarterback will play a big part and if N'Keal Harry will be fantasy relevant or not. But if Mac Jones starts, it will also be a big factor, you know, if N'Keal Harry's on this team, if he's fantasy relevant or not. So I'm disappointed because obviously he's requested a trade, so it kind of ruins my segment. But I still think there's some potential upside there with N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, I agree. I think the N'Keal Harry could have upside. My deep sleeper is Jacoby Myers. And
it's so hard because is that a sleeper? But I get it, right? Yeah, it's a deep sleeper in fantasy, yeah, but it's like, who's the wide receiver one?
Exactly. And that was my thought process. Okay, well, N'Keal Harris is not there. I was going to say Damien Harris, but I think everyone can agree.
No, that's not a sleeper.
Yeah, he's not a sleeper, but I think it's Jacoby Myers for me. I mean, if we look at it last year, he had great chemistry with Cam Newton. He had a couple games where he really broke out. I think both against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. One's against the Jets. Mm. Yeah, where he scored 28 points in that win where he had like 14 targets. I remember that game. That was a Sunday night game where we thought the Jets was going to win their first game. I don't know if you remember that.
They decided to wait until the end of the year to lose Trevor Lawrence.
So I think there's good opportunity there. He had the most, he had the best chemistry with Cam Newton. I think he's going to come in and be that guy. I think he's going to play in the slot. Unless, obviously, with all this news with N'Keal Harry, who's going to be that guy to play that big wide receiver out there. But I think another big thing is that the Patriots have the third easiest wide receiver schedule.
Which is really, really hard to rely on.
Right now, correct. But if we're going
that data is not so accurate just yet.
But if we're going just based on what we know right now, he has Jacoby Myers has a third easiest wide receiver schedule in the league currently. So obviously, like Zach said, it can change, but that's something to look out for. I think that's really exciting, Jacoby Myers. I don't even think
it was crazy though.
We even took him in any mock drafts either.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Nelson Agholor probably, if he's drafted, is the last pick. Almost every Patriot is a deep sleeper in fantasy this year. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cam Newton, Mac Jones, Damien Harris is probably the highest drafted player, but even him, he's going late 8th, 9th round. There's a lot of sleepers on this team, and I think it's going to be a good team. All right, the last word on the Patriots. Personally, I can't remember the last time the Patriots spent money in the free agency window like this.
Right.
And in my opinion, I trust Bill Belichick. Money talks. I think this team's going to be much better.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing I thought of was...
Well, obviously you don't agree because you them as the worst team in this division. But
I'm talking about like, I guess I was reading my notes and I said I agree. So I don't agree, but I do agree that this team, football team, like with paper, it does get better. You know, the offensive line with all the opt-outs in the offensive line, I think it does come back. It helps them. And I guess my final word is that I think Damien Harris could be a top 20 guy this year, especially with that offensive line coming back, being really strong.
And Mac Jones helps that case significantly.
So take a look out for that.
Let's move on to these New York Jets.
Oh boy.
I mean, firstly, I think you and I can agree. We both are in love with this team. 100%. I think other than my Washington football team, this is the other team that I'm most excited to watch this year.
Yeah.
Do we agree?
I completely agree. Obviously, the biggest question mark here, and this, I don't think there's any, at least for me, there's no big question mark.
There's actually massive question marks everywhere.
I think for me, it's just like, I think we
both. But the biggest is?
I don't have a biggest. I think, I'll be honest. What?
It's Zach Wilson. How is it not Zach Wilson?
No, it is Zach Wilson. But I personally believe that Zach Wilson will be successful. He won't be amazing.
No, I agree.
He'll be successful in his first year. And I think he'll have a successful career. But if I had to say the biggest question mark, it would have to be the front office. Is Robert Saleh really this guy? Is he really going to take this team under his wing.
So specifically the moves the front office have made in hiring their coach.
Yes, because I do believe this team is talented. This offensive line is ridiculous. Ferrer, Tucker, Mekhi Becton.
Becton.
You know, Elijah Moore, Jameson Crowder, obviously.
By the way, Becton is a walking monster.
Yeah, the guy is massive.
It's not normal how big he is. Okay, I just want to quickly get your predictions.
Okay.
Okay, I have them statted to go 5-12. I'll explain why it's probably lower than you.
Yes.
Which what
I have them going? I have them 7-10.
Okay.
Finishing.
I'll just quickly explain. Like I said, I love this team, but I really want to have lower expectation. The issue is, it feels like this is either going to click straight away, or it's just not going to work.
I completely agree.
You know
agree.
What I mean? Like, is that, you feel the same way?
I feel the exact same way. It's like, okay, they're either going to come out guns blazing or just be absolutely terrible and like start off like 0-8 and then really get their feet down towards the end of the season. But I'm really hoping that they click. I think Zach Wilson is smart enough and good enough to actually win some games early in his career.
I agree. But here's, I guess when I say it, it either needs to work straight away or you just know, oh, this is bad. I think what I mean when I say that is they can still be a bad team, right. 5-12. Mm-hmm. But if the pieces in place look good, then you're like, oh, we got something here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Zach Wilson's going to go to the playoffs.
No.
As a rookie.
No.
But I think that they could win 5 games. That's good for a team that won 1 game last year. Mm-hmm. I think they improve. But again, like, you're going to either see straight out of the gates, ooh, the culture's different. Ooh, Zach Wilson is nice. Mm-hmm. Or, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's going to be one or the other. But so you have them going 7 wins. That's probably because you don't believe in the Patriots.
They split with the Patriots. They split with the Dolphins. They get swept by the Bills. But the teams that they do play, I think they win. You know, I think they have an opportunity to beat the Falcons. I think they have an opportunity to beat the Eagles. The Jags, the Saints.
See, that's where we see it differently. I don't see this team maturing and allow it. Like, I don't see them getting to that point yet as a franchise.
Okay.
I don't think they can beat the Dolphins, honestly. I think that they can beat Atlanta. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that they could beat the Panthers. They could beat, obviously, Houston. I don't think they can beat the Saints, though, and they could beat the Jags. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm leaning more towards caution with this team because I want to lower my expectations. Okay. I want to just look at each individual player. Oh, they're popping off. Or, man, this team's not actually looking good. This is sad, you know?
Yeah. I agree. I don't agree. But when I say I agree, like, it's back and forth. It's really back and forth. Any game can be won. Obviously, last year, no one thought that. Some teams were going to go off the way they did. But I think in the final stretch, when I really think about it, yeah, they have to win some of these games. I think the biggest game is going to be fun is their first opening game, Panthers-Jets, Sam Darnold.
I agree, but I also am really looking forward to week 16 when they face the Jags. Number one overall pick versus number two overall pick. Mm-hmm.
I hear you on that.
You have your biggest question mark is the coaching staff.
Yes.
My biggest question mark is obvious. It's Zach Wilson. When you take a quarterback number two overall, that's going to be the biggest storyline, in my opinion, for the entire year. For the sake of all New York Jets fans, I really hope they hit on Wilson. I think they did.
I think they did.
I have him in a lot of dynasty.
We make fun of Zach Wilson so much.
I mean, we call him the
Mormon.
Storm and Mormon.
Yeah, stuff like that. And he kind of has that swag. He's like, bro, I know I'm a Mormon, but I'm about to whoop that ass. You know, like, I'm about to come on the field and
beat
you.
Exactly it. Like, he's like, dude, I know I don't have the swag you have, but because I know that I don't have the swag that you have, I got swag.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. I get that.
Yeah.
Okay, fantasy deep sleepers for this team. Have anyone in particular stand out?
It was hard to kind of think of one. At first, I want to say Denzel Mims, but I wasn't really excited about it. But my deep sleeper would be Tevin Coleman. I think there was a lot of people that are taking Michael Carter over Tevin Coleman. Sometimes Tevin Coleman is not even picked in redraft leagues, so he can go undrafted. Obviously, we don't know if Michael Carter is going to start right away. Okay, yeah. we can't both agree on, we can both agree that we don't know when he's going to start, but we know that Tevin Coleman is going to be that guy to get the first touches right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Yeah, from what we know. So I think Tevin Coleman could be a fantasy deep sleeper for, I guess, the first 5 to 6 weeks at least.
So what I imagine happened here was you went into my script, you copy and pasted exactly what I had to say.
Absolutely.
I think there's two things that I wrote down because Tevin Coleman's my deep sleeper as well.
Okay.
The two things I wrote down that really stood out to me. What if it doesn't work out though? What if Michael Carter isn't ready?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the second thing is, what about the goal line touches? Michael Carter is not a goal line back. So they have to go to someone. I assume that someone would be a Tevin Coleman. And, you know, the caveat here is we don't know how involved LaMichael Perine is going to be either.
Mm.
They drafted him last year. They like LaMichael Perine. So,
yeah,
I think it's Michael Carter because we both believe in him. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, what if? Why not take Tevin Coleman with your last pick and just see what happens?
100%.
The last word with these New York Jets, I will say, I can't remember a time I've been more excited to watch the New York Jets. I mean, this 2021 offseason could be the turning point we look back on in 5 years and be like, damn, that's when it all changed for them. That's what I'm really looking forward to this year. I can't remember a time I've been more excited. Do you have a last word other than that?
For me, and it's more like a bold prediction, bold statement.
Okay.
The Jets will make the playoffs in the next 2 to 3 years.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I thought you were going to say this.
Oh, no, no, like, no way.
Pump the brakes. You stopped.
You were about to take a sip of water. He was like, oh, what?
I was literally about to drink water. I said, oh, hold on. What did I say?
Yeah, 2 to 3 years. I see that happening. I'm excited.
I can see that happening. Mm-hmm. We both love these guys. I can't believe we got through an entire Jet segment. We didn't talk about Elijah Moore.
That's
how
crazy.
The hell did we not talk about Elijah Moore?
Just get hype about it. If you don't know him, look him up.
We love Elijah Moore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys probably know that by now. We talk about him way too much. Yeah. Elijah Moore. He's obviously, yeah, he's prime for big things. Yeah. We'll just say that. Prime for big things. Okay. The Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Dollar dollar bills, y'all. I have them predicted to go 12-5. You okay. have them predicted to go
14-3.
Math checks out.
Yeah.
I was doing the math in my head right quick. Look, there's a lot of games that could go either way for the Bills this year. I want to believe that they're going to be that elite team again, but like much of the NFL, they have a pretty hard schedule.
Yeah.
Right? The Bills will be defined this season, in my opinion, by how they perform versus the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Titans. That is what will define their season.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be the alpha team that knocks off the Steelers, that beats the Chiefs and shows we can beat you, that beats the Titans? Those games are really going to be, and how they perform versus Dolphins, I think those games are really going to decide, are you actually a contender or are you just a pretender?
And, you know, I agree. I actually have him losing the first game against the Steelers, coming off and losing, mm-hmm. And then them going on a nice little streak against the Bills, the Washington football team, the Texans, and then they come back and lose to the Chiefs. And then
you mean against Miami?
Yeah.
Because they are the Bills.
Sorry, yeah.
So
sorry.
If they played the Bills,
against
that would be like a Madden situation where someone's like,
correct.
Hey, man, you can't be the Bills. They're too good. It's like, well, you be the Bills. And then you face each other as the Bills in different colors.
Yeah,
anyway,
so I completely agree with what you're saying. I do believe that they win one more game. I think it's going to sound crazy, but like, I think they beat the Titans. I think that's what I had them down as. They lose to the Bucks because they play the Bucks.
Yeah. That's definitely a key matchup as well.
So they lose to the Steelers, they lose to the Bucks, and then they lose to the Chiefs. Those are my three games that they lose. I think they have the ability to beat the Titans. Everyone else it's an easy win for me going into the season. You know, the Panthers, the Falcons,
yeah.
Obviously the Saints, and then obviously their division, the Jags.
So for me, I'm a little bit more on the edge, and I think that they could lose one of the games versus the Patriots. They could lose one of the games versus the Dolphins. The reality is they probably will win those games,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't be crazy if they did lose one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Colts. Like, they could lose a game versus the Colts and the Titans. So those are both good teams that they need to prove, hey, no, it wasn't a one-year wonder. We are legit and we're here. biggest question mark for me is suspect defense. Okay. I don't know if you see the same way, but when I look at this defense, if they had the Bucs defense last year, they probably would have won the Super Bowl. If they had the defense at the Bucs.
Everyone had the Bucs defense, they won the Super Bowl.
Nah. Well, I guess that could be true, but I guess what I'm trying to say is like the offense is there. Josh Allen is there. But this defense is suspect. And I think I look back at their last couple of draft classes. In 2019, they had the 9th overall pick and they chose Ed Oliver out of Houston. Been a massive disappointment. There are so many playmakers they could have got with that 9th overall pick. And I guess what I'm trying to say is they drafted Gregory Rousseau, another edge. Mm-hmm. They need one of these defensive players to really hit. They also drafted Caleb Farley.
That was the Titans, yes.
So they need Gregory Rousseau to hit because this is a suspect defense. They need playmakers to step up. Otherwise, they're not going to be real Super Bowl contenders.
You know, I agree with the defense, but I think that's the least of my worries, in my opinion. I think they are talented on the defensive side of the ball. I think my biggest question mark is the run game. You know, okay.
I can see that.
I think we talked about it for a while. If you listen to our Zach Moss and Devin, or if you listen to our latest podcast about Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, this team has to get the run game going. The defense proved themselves a little bit sometimes. I remember I think Ed Oliver had a pick six, if I'm not mistaken, against the Steelers and on like the goal line, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it was Ed Oliver, but I think the defense does have like upside. Another year in with all these guys are going to come in and do that, but it's the run game. We don't want this team to be one-dimensional. If Josh Allen is eliminated or Stephon Diggs is eliminated from the game plan,
yeah,
Zach Moss and Singletary have to step up. Are they talented enough? We don't believe so, but they have to.
I have a quick rebuttal for that because mm-hmm. I feel like the game has changed so significantly. So like the Steelers are the complete opposite end of this, mm-hmm. and on the other end is the Browns. The Steelers emulated the run game through short passes, right? The Browns were like, no, we're just going to run it down your throat every play mm-hmm. because we have Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bills find themselves more towards the Steelers side, but I think it's a healthy fit for them. I feel like they can... Diggs, why did Diggs get so many catches? Obviously, he's massively talented. And
no one saw it coming. Worked out for both sides. No one saw Diggs going crazy like that.
Yeah. But also, I think they can sacrifice the run game because they have a guy like Diggs. Now, will Davis stand? Will Davis kind of break out? Mm-hmm. Will Sanders fill that role? But I think the run game doesn't worry me as much as the defense, just because I think they can get away with being a pass happy team. I don't think they can get away with suspect defense.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I lean my perspective, if it's worth anything.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I hear you. We're not gonna know. I think we're really not gonna know until the season.
You know what's great is we both hear each other.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
I hear. Hey, just want you to know, I see you. I hear you.
All right. Deep sleeper for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
for me, it has to be Gabriel Davis. I don't know if that's the same for you. I think the big...
No, it's not, but go ahead.
Okay, I think the biggest question mark, if Cole Beasley... For me, it would be Cole Beasley, I'll be honest with you. If it's Cole Beasley doesn't retire or opts out or does whatever he doesn't want to do with this vax situation, it's Cole Beasley. But if if Cole Beasley checks out, it's Gabriel Davis for me. He's a year two wide receiver. He's going to come in. We saw some good upside. I think maybe year three, if I'm not mistaken. I had to double check that, but there's opportunity there. He steps into a good role going into another year with the Bills.
This is probably, you know, the one deep sleeper that I found the hardest to give advice on because I have Dawson Knox written down,
mm-hmm.
but there's no trends that I can point to. I just feel like this could be Knox's year to break out. But if you look at his college game and if you look at his stats in the NFL thus far, he hasn't really improved or impressed much at all. So it's hard for me to give you an exact person. This is a pass happy team.
Mm-hmm.
So why not get your tight end one involved
you know.
So that's why Dawson Knox is kind of like my deep sleeper. But
no, I hear you.
This is probably my least excited deep sleeper of any team we've covered.
I think for me, I hear you on Dawson Knox. I've been hearing a lot of reports. I don't know if you heard or if other people have heard or haven't heard. Jacob Hollister could be in the mix as,
yeah,
you know, potentially getting some more playing time over Dawson Knox.
Totally. So, that's what like kind of cancels this out for me, right?
Yeah.
I was going to do Gabe Davis, mm-hmm. but then Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley canceled that out for me. So it's really, man, it's really just Allen and Diggs on this team. I don't want anyone else. I don't even want the running backs.
Yeah.
Last word. Is this really a Super Bowl contending team? Is it really a Super Bowl contending team?
I believe there's no doubt about it.
Really?
I believe so. I believe Josh Allen is going... That's way too bold. I was going to say, I believe Josh Allen...
You love just making bold things.
I was
going
to say, I wish Josh Allen is going to win a Super Bowl in his career. Is it soon?
I mean, yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. But, you know, I think they're a Super Bowl caliber team. 100%. If you think about it, when Tom Brady retires... Who's next?
Well, that's the NFC, bro. That's in the NFC.
No.
I think the issue is, this will be the issue for Josh Allen for his entire career. Hey, Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. You got to go up against Patrick Mahomes.
I think Justin Herbert.
I'm always going to give Mahomes the edge,
but one of those times he's going to have to lose. But once he wins and gets to the Super Bowl, I don't think there's any true competition on the other side.
I don't agree. I mean, you have the Seahawks. When the Bucks retire, yeah, but you've also got the Rams.
Yeah, maybe I'm going too far.
I think
far
someone
there.
Out of the NFC East is
going
to
going too
show
far
up.
There. Going too far there. I hear you. All right.
But you know, when I look at the AFC, right, the Titans, the Ravens. I mean, I'll put the Dolphins, the Colts, the Browns, and the Chiefs, and the Steelers, all kind of in that. We could kind of do it, you know. We could kind of be that team to win the Super Bowl, but I mean the Chiefs and the Bills seems to be four tiers. Excuse me. The tier one is the Chiefs, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Tier two is the Bills,
mm-hmm.
and both of those tiers, there's only one team. Now tier three is the Steelers, Titans, Ravens, Browns, Colts. Right?
Okay.
It's kind of like. Everyone else and the Dolphins, I guess. Everyone else is kind of like, oh, we're kind of here. Kind of here figuring it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're here.
Yeah. We are here. That's from Horton Years Ago.
My last word is that this run game will make a difference. I believe this run game Yikes. Will take a jump. I am really believing in this offensive line, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Whoever is going to be leading the backfield, I really don't care who it is. I mean, I guess I do care because I want to take them in fantasy. So I care that it's Zach Moss. But I do believe this run game will make a difference. They all sat down as an organization or as a head coach and team and said, what do we need to truly improve on? And they said the run game. They all agreed. That was the number one thing on everyone's list. So I believe this run game will get better in 2021.
I need to change my last word to no. That's my last word. No. It's not going to work. None of those guys are talented enough, in my opinion. Happy to be wrong. Mm-hmm. This was fun.
Yeah, it was. I liked it.
Yeah. I like talking about these divisions.
I think we should do it again. Should we do another division?
Yeah, we'll do the NFC East.
Oh.
Next week.
Okay. See you there.
Are you down with that? NFC East next
NFC
week?
East. I mean, New York Football Giants, the Washington.
I mean, we could do it right team. Now. Washington's going to win.
The Dallas Cowgirls and the...
HBO, why are you doing it Eagles. To us?
I'm happy. I'm happy with
Yeah, it'll be fun.
With Hard Knocks being the Cowboys. Getting Dak Prescott back, you know, Zeke, obviously he has some injuries.
You know what
last
though?
Year.
I mean, we're going to talk about this obviously next week, but you're going to see a big impact on these players for the Cowboys and their draft stock after HBO in fantasy. Oh,
guess who has CeeDee Lamb?
Oh boy. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying be careful of the hype is what I'm trying to say.
I mean,
like Zeke is going to come out and look like a monster on HBO. And be like, oh my God, I'm going to take Zeke at three. Anyway, this was fun.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say to close the show?
No. All of patreon.com/fantasylandfam. No. I don't want to say anything, but patreon.com/fantasylandfam. Best way to support the show. Best way to play fantasy football with us. Join us. We're excited. We cannot wait. Dynasty redrafts. Best of both worlds. And RSA, use that code. Use that link. It's in our description.
FLSolo.to/fantasylandfootball. Mm-hmm. You can find RSA there and use our code FL15 for 15% off at checkout.
Cannot wait.
We're legit, bro.
Well, what can I say, you know? Shout out to the community for helping us be this way.
I know. It literally has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you next week. I promise you we're going to three episodes next week. Okay. We will see you then. See you there.
See you there.
Hey, yeah, you, the one listening to this podcast, you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching, because you deserve it.